Let's turn now in our Bibles to 1 Peter and chapter 2. 1 Peter and chapter 2, we're focusing on one verse in chapter 3, but we'll start reading from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. We'll read through to the end of verse 7 of chapter 3. So that's 1 Peter chapter 2, starting to read at verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in the same way submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's stand and sing one more time before we look into verse 7 of chapter 3 together. And of course it's a prayer. It's a prayer that I love to sing. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Well, if you've got your Bible with you, do have it open at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Some years ago, someone suggested that I read a book entitled, and I think I've got this right, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Have I got that right? A few of you are nodding. I never read the book. Joanne still thinks that I ought to read the book. But I think that the title implies that women and men are different. And I do believe that men and women are different. Whilst I was preparing, I was reading a commentary, and this particular commentary referred to something in a ladies' magazine. Quite a number of wives had written in to the people who put together the magazine, speaking about men, and in particular, husbands. Let me read to you some of the things that they said. Men are different because they lose things and ask you what you've done with them. They take shirts off without undoing the buttons. They take jumpers off by yanking at the back of the neck. They insist they can pack a car boot or suitcase better than you. They think that sport is news. They wash up but leave the sink dirty. They think that houses are self-cleaning and fridges are self-replenishing. And they don't cook unless it's a barbecue, which apparently is macho. Now, I don't know whether you agree with that or not. I don't suppose that all of you will agree what's being said there. But I think that we probably all agree that men and women are different. In the book of Genesis, we read that God made them male and female. Well, last time we were in 1 Peter, we saw that God had something to say to women, or to wives. In fact, 6 verses were devoted to helping Christian wives witness well to their unbelieving husbands. But now Peter turns his attention to the men. He turns his attention to husbands. And he has something to say about how Christian husbands are to relate to their believing wives. This is not an easy sermon for me to preach this evening. And you may be interested to know that I have chatted with Joanne quite extensively about everything that I'm going to say this evening. And there's a part of me that is really quite glad that she's not here tonight, though I suppose I really ought to wish that she was here. But I think some of you will know what I mean when I say that. Now, you may not be a husband here this evening, but please don't shut off. Please don't assume that what Peter says here in verse 7 has nothing to say to you. You may be a husband one day, or you may have a son or a grandson that's married that will look to you for advice. Or you may find yourself in a situation whereby you are called upon to counsel a Christian husband. Peter then emphasizes 3 main things in connection with how Christian husbands are to relate to their Christian wives. Firstly, they are to be considerate. Secondly, they are to be around. And thirdly, they are to be respectful. Firstly, they are to be considerate. In the New International Version, this is how it reads: husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In the English Standard Version, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way. And in the King James Version, it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. And the idea is that husbands should consider carefully how they live with their wives. A husband must treat his wife according to understanding or according to knowledge. Listen to what Pastor Warren Wiersbe writes. In my premarital counselling as a pastor, I often gave couples pads of paper and asked them to write down the 3 things each one thinks the other enjoys doing the most. Usually, the prospective bride made her list immediately, whilst the man would sit and ponder. And usually, the girl was right, and the man was wrong. He goes on to say, what a beginning for a marriage. And so I ask those of us who are husbands this evening, do we know our wives? Do we know what they like and what they dislike? Do we know their hopes and fears? Do we know their needs? Do we take the time to sit down with them and really listen to them? Joanne says that this is an area that I need to work on. She says, you can't listen to me and have one ear on what the football results are. Future husbands, will you resolve to know your wife? Counselors, will you encourage husbands to know their wives. You see, how can a husband treat his wife well unless he really knows her? I rarely ask Joanne these days to read my sermons before I preach them. I used to do that in the early days, but now I just run with what I think I want to say. But I did run this one by her. I wanted to know her thoughts. And she gave me a number of things that she thinks husbands should be aware of concerning their wives. I'm not sure whether she's talking to all of the husbands here this evening or whether she's got her sort of eye on what I need to learn. But here's just a little list. It's not very long. Husbands ought to be aware when their wives are unhappy and sad. They ought to be aware when their wives have had their hair done and want to know what you think. Husbands ought to be aware when their wives need to talk and offload. They need to be aware when their wives are feeling tired and would value a takeaway so that they don't have to cook that evening. A man at work decided to show his wife how much he loved her. And before going home, he showered, shaved, put on some choice cologne, and bought her a bouquet of flowers. He went to the door and knocked. His wife answered the door and exclaimed, "Oh no, this has been a terrible day. First I had to take Billy to the emergency room and get stitches in his leg. Then your mother called and said she's coming for 2 weeks. Then the washing machine broke and now this. You've come home drunk." Clearly she was not expecting her husband to turn up at the front door with flowers. Clearly she was not expecting him to surprise her with such gifts. But husbands, our wives should not be surprised by our love and by our consideration of them. So firstly, husbands should be considerate. But secondly, they should be around. Look at verse 7. "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives." The King James Version says, "as you dwell with your wives." Now this may seem like a silly thing to say, but actually it's really important that husbands live, and I emphasize that word, live with their wives. And not simply share the same address. Here I'm talking about really living, you see, with their wives. Sometimes husbands can be out a lot, but I'm not so much thinking about husbands being out at work a lot, but out watching football or being busy, amusing themselves down the end of the garden in the shed or whatever it might be. Or perhaps simply being busy in the home watching television. Well, Peter assumes that husbands will live with their wives. And I think when he writes this, he's talking about really living with their wives. In other words, spending quality time together, talking together, praying together, sharing together, laughing and having fun together, and fulfilling all of their marital duties. These days, it's quite common to go to a marriage refreshment course. And Joanne and I have been to one or two of these over the years, and I commend them, generally speaking. I think they're very good and worthwhile, and we haven't been to one in a little while and probably ought to go to one again. And one of the things that couples are encouraged to do is to have date nights In other words, nights when we just go out and you spend quality time together. And I know that some of you do that. We found it difficult over the last year and a half to do that, with Tim being in our home, and now of course Naomi's not very well and someone needs to be around while she's at home, but we still go out for what we call trips to the coffee shop. And really it's an opportunity for Joanne to talk to me and for me to listen, quite frankly. Although of course it works both ways. In Ephesians 5, Paul says to husbands, love your wives. But how can a husband really love his wife unless he is willing to spend quality time with his wife? Thirdly and lastly, be respectful. Be respectful. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. As the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The King James Version puts it slightly differently. I like the word that it uses. It speaks about giving honour to the wife. In fact, a number of translations use that word honour. But let me quote from Warren Wiersbe again. He says this. Incidentally, Warren Wiersbe pastored a church in Chicago for many years. He's written commentaries on just about all the books in the Bible. And I think he passed away recently, but I'm not entirely sure about that. Anyway, reading his material is always helpful. He says this: when a young couple start dating, the boy is courteous and thoughtful. After they get engaged, he shows even more courtesy and always acts like a gentleman. Sad to say, soon after they get married, many a husband forgets to be kind and gentlemanly and starts taking his wife for granted. Well, Peter says, respect your wife. Honor her. Sometimes men can be selfish and make unreasonable demands of their wives. But Peter says, no, I want you to respect your wives. I want you to respect your wife as the weaker partner. Now I'm guessing that quite a lot of ladies within the world that we are living with would react negatively to what Peter says here. But let's ask ourselves, what is it that Peter means when he talks about wives being the weaker partner? I don't think he's referring to wives being intellectually weaker or morally weaker or spiritually weaker. I think he's simply referring to the obvious, that women, generally speaking, are weaker physically. Bull elephants are bigger and stronger than female elephants. Male lions are bigger and stronger than female lions. Generally speaking, it is true to say that men are bigger and stronger than women. And I think that is what the Apostle Peter is emphasizing. Therefore, husbands must not take advantage of their strength and their wives' physical weakness by throwing their weight around, by intimidating their wives, by their size and their strength. No, they must treat their wives as though they were precious vases. In other words, they must handle them with care. Now, you may disagree with me when I say what I'm about to say, but I also tend to think that women are more sensitive than men. You may not agree with me at this point. And I'm sure that we could all think of some women that seem to have the skin, so to speak, of a rhino, and men that are incredibly sensitive. But I would argue that Women, as a general rule, are more sensitive than men, which means they can be more easily hurt by criticism and conflict within the home. A husband, therefore, should not be harsh with his wife. And interestingly, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. What he should seek to be doing all the time is encouraging her and affirming her and building her up in whatever it is that she does. So husbands are to be respectful of their wives as the weaker partner. And, he goes on to say, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Now, I'm hoping that perhaps one day I will find myself in a church where the minister says these words. And who gives this woman to be this man's wife? I'm hoping that I'll be in church one day and that I will be the one to respond to those words. But of course, whoever it is that I give my daughter to, I hope and pray that they will love her and care for her as much as I do, because she is precious to me. Husbands, do we realize how precious our wives are to God? You see, our Christian wives are children of the living God. And he has redeemed them by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Respect her, says Peter, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Husbands, our Christian wives are precious to God. If you think about it, they are actually princesses. Because you see, God is a king. His children, therefore, if they are female, are effectively princesses. So respect your wives as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, some commentators think that Peter here is referring to Christian husbands and wives praying together. I don't think that's what he's referring to. I think that he's referring to the prayers of Christian husbands. In verse 7, Peter is not addressing wives, he's addressing husbands. Treat your wives, in other words, well, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wayne Grudem, in his commentary on 1 Peter, sees this as fatherly discipline, and I agree with what Grudem says. It's as if God says to the husband who's not treating his wife as he ought, I'm not going to listen to your prayers until you begin to treat your wife as you ought. Those of us who are fathers may have said something similar to our children. I'm not going to listen to what you have got to say until you stop talking to your mother like that and apologize to her. King David, in Psalm 66, said something similar to what Peter writes here. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, we read, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." In other words, if I'd held on to some kind of sin in my life, then I could not expect the Lord to hear my prayer. We must come before the Lord with a sincere heart. Look as well with me, will you, at verses 10 to 12. And here the Apostle Peter is quoting from Psalm 34. Let me read to you what it says. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Jesus says something similar as well. Let me read to you what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24. If you are offering your gift at the altar, in other words, if you've come to worship God, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. If men are not treating their wives as they ought, and there's friction within the home, then before men pray, they should go to their wives. And they should say that they are sorry. And see to it that there is reconciliation before they go to God in prayer. Because why can they expect God to listen to their prayer whilst things are the way they are? Last week we talked about wives submitting to their husbands. And I suspect that there are a lot of women in our society, and perhaps some also within the church, who may be somewhat fearful of submitting. And I can understand why, especially if husbands are selfish and demanding and even aggressive. I remember when I was growing up, observing a Christian couple within the context of their home, and the husband was often sitting in his chair giving orders to his wife. Darling, would you do this? Darling, would you mind doing that? Darling, you just need to do this. And the poor woman was rushing about all over the place, doing every duty imaginable within the home. And he never got out of his chair and lifted a finger. And sometimes there were those of us who observed the fact that she was absolutely exhausted. I don't believe that Christian husbands should behave like this. Christian husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and continues to love the church. And for those of us who are husbands, let us take the time to stop and think about what that actually means for us in terms of our relationship with our wives. Because Christ, it seems to me, is very tender and loving and caring towards his church. He doesn't drive us to do anything. He doesn't force us to do anything against our will. Husbands, we are to be considerate towards our wives. We're to know our wives in order that we might treat them well. We are to be around. That is, we are to live with our wives. Really live with our wives. And we are to be respectful of them. We are to honour them as the weaker partner. And as heirs with us of the gracious gift of life, so that, and here is the incentive, so that nothing will hinder our prayers. If a husband leads his wife and interacts with his wife or relates to his wife in the way that the New Testament encourages him to do, I don't think a wife should ever be fearful of submitting to her husband, as Peter tells wives to do in the first 6 verses of chapter 3. Well, I think that's what Peter's saying. My wife's not here, so she can't tell me how well or how badly I dealt with this verse, and most of you will be too kind to make any kind of comment, probably. But do go home and think carefully, whether husband or wife, about what Peter has to say in these verses. As we conclude our time together, we're going to sing number 928. And it's a hymn that is found in the Christian marriage section. And it was the best one that I could find that related to some of the things that we have been thinking about. We'll know the tune, but let's stand and sing it through together. 928. Lord, in view of what we've been thinking about this evening, we do ask for your blessing to be upon all Christian marriages within our fellowship. We pray that you would grant grace to husbands as they relate to their wives, and wives as they seek to relate in a biblical way to their husbands. Lord, we know that Satan is very much at work in these days in which we live. He wants to destroy the family unit. Please guard and protect, we pray. Help us all to look to you, whatever our situation might be. Please help us all this coming week as we seek to live for you, and take us home now and grant us all a good night's rest. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.